Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, December is getting toward the end. Holidays are narrowing down. And I hope that that will bring you some well-deserved rest from all the busyness of the season. But I'd like us to consider something today. As Christians, that rest that we're looking for, that we desire so much, should remind us of a different rest that's coming. Not the worn out, exhausted rest when we flop down after the holidays, but the eternal rest of heaven, filled with contentment and communion with our God. Revelation chapter 21 has a vision of what's coming to us. The dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Think about that. Next Friday and Saturday, we'll gather together to remember the day that God came to us in the Christ child. But the Apostle Paul describes who this baby is, and it really is, I hate to use a word from the 60s, but it really is mind-blowing to think that the baby in the manger is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the church, his body. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. I don't know about you, but I cannot even begin to comprehend the greatness of Jesus. It seems so naive to think that Advent and Christmas are only about Jesus being born long ago in Bethlehem. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And Jesus' greatest desire is that you be with him now and forever. And that's why he keeps coming to you, keeps adventing in your lives. Jesus keeps coming to you week after week in worship, where his Spirit serves you through word and sacrament. He keeps coming during the week when you have your devotion. He keeps coming to you when passages you've memorized by the Spirit of God guide you in life. He who is the image of the invisible God keeps coming and coming to you. And all of his comings are pointed toward a goal. All of the advents of Jesus are leading to his final and decisive advent on that last day. Today we're ending our Advent series on God's advents to us with the first chapter of Joshua. The children of Israel are ready to enter the promised land, a moment in history that's a picture of our entrance into the promised land of heaven. But sadly, not every ancient Israelite entered that promised land, and not everyone today will enter heaven. In Israel's example, they didn't because God's people did not trust his word. When they came to the promised land, they didn't trust God's promise to conquer the giants who lived in the land. At the border of that land of milk and honey, they refused to believe that God would now be faithful to his promises, the promises he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we can see now how short-sighted they were. Because of their disobedience, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But today's reading in Joshua finds the Israelites standing at the banks of the Jordan once again. The years of wandering are over. The generation that refused to believe has died. Moses has died. And Joshua, one of the two men who had encouraged the people to go out and take the land the first time, will now lead them into that promised land. The Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Just as God had promised, he was with Joshua, as he had been with Moses. Just as God parted the waters of the Red Sea when the people left slavery in Egypt, so God opened the path to the promised land by stopping the water of the Jordan River. As God had given to Moses Israel victory over two powerful kings in the wilderness, God gave them victory when Joshua led them against the Hittites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and all those other Dites. God settled them in the land that he had promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And now the question is, would they be faithful to the God who had done so much for them? At the end of his life, Joshua said, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And they did, for a while. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. But as you know, generations come and generations go. God's people forgot the God who had brought them out of slavery. They polluted the land with idolatry as well as cruelty to the weakest and the most vulnerable. They brought shame to the glory of God, and their promised land did not last forever. Hundreds of years later, their sins sent them into exile, and when they returned to the land, they returned not to rule, not to possess, but to be ruled by others. As we've been talking about this Advent, the Bible is the church's book of Advents. Century after century, God's comings, big and small, lead to Jesus, who is bringing us up a better promised land, to an inheritance in heaven that's eternal. It isn't coincidence that Jesus and Joshua are different translations of the same word. Jesus is our Joshua, leading us to our forever home. The Apostle Peter writes to us and all of our fellow Christians and exiles, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. How amazing God's love for you is. Before the creation of the world, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had already planned the Son's coming to us in the flesh. The Spirit of Christ was active in the Old Testament, appearing to the patriarchs, moving the prophets to write about the future sufferings and glory of Jesus. The Son's advent in Bethlehem led to our rescue by his death on the cross. And through the resurrection of Jesus, the Father gives new birth to eternal life as the Spirit of God and Jesus rest upon you by virtue of your baptism into Christ. So while we look back at Jesus, all that he's done for us through history, we're also looking forward. Like the people of Israel ready to cross the Jordan to an earthly promised land, our Joshua will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this must always be at the forefront of our hope. You have been saved totally by grace, not by your works. But you still have a responsibility for what you do with the gifts God gives you. The Apostle Paul, as well as the book of Hebrews, tells us to learn from those who didn't trust God's promises. The message of the Israelites who didn't enter the earthly promised land because of their disobedience reminds you and me not to take this gift from God, not to take our entrance into the eternal promised land for granted. It remains for some to enter eternal rest. And those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, and let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Are we really any less at risk than those Israelites who failed to trust in God? I would say that none of us, myself included, devotes the zeal we ought as Jesus, our Joshua, is leading us to our heavenly inheritance. In our own ways, we're like those disciples who fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane when they should have been praying and watching with Jesus. God is patient. We are still in the day of grace. The God who came to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob keeps coming to you in word and sacrament, in worship and private devotion. He keeps adventing to you to keep you strong in the faith. But don't let God's patience lull you into complacency. God is still a jealous God. He's jealous for you because he knows apart from him, you're lost. Just a moment ago, we sang the God of Abraham praise, a hymn which anticipates Jesus' advent. When he comes in glory, he will raise our bodies so that we, body and soul, will be with him forever in heaven. And the beginning of that sixth verse says, "The goodly land I see." Do we see it? Do your eyes of faith see that goodly land? Moses saw the earthly promised land from Mount Nebo, and Joshua saw it when he was about to lead the people in. And Hebrews encourages us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our life of faith is a marathon, not a sprint. Don't become weary in the middle. Do you trust? Does your faith see the goodly land? The goodly land I see with peace and plenty blessed, a land of sacred liberty and endless rest. There milk and honey flow and oil and wine abound, and trees of life forever grow with mercy crowned. He by himself has sworn, I on his oath depend. I shall on eagle's wings upborne to heaven ascend. I shall behold his face. I shall his power adore and sing the wonders of his grace forevermore. Advent is about Jesus. Jesus being born and so much more. He who fills all things wants to fill heaven. Jesus wants to fill heaven with you and me and all of God's redeemed. So as these holidays wear down and wear you down, let that weariness spark your anticipation of the glorious future that our God has in store. In this you rejoice, says St. Peter. So now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. Please rise.